Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all of our guests so far today. We've talked to Buster Olney from ESPN. Gary Lezak finally gave you the forecast after attempting to go through every game of the Chiefs' schedule. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. And now we'll talk to our good friend, Vice President, Assistant General Manager, Player Personnel of the Royals, J.J. Piccolo. J.J., good morning. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Excited to see the minor leagues start back up again. And I know we'll just start with the guy that makes all the headlines whenever he does something. Bobby Witt Jr. hit a home run last night, a double A. I know he's been off to somewhat of a bumpy start, but still good to see him hit a home run and get things going down in double A.
Yeah, he had a good night last night, and he had a good night Saturday night as well. And then we got rained out Sunday, and when a guy has a good night, you want to get back on the field again the next day. We got rained out, had an off day Monday, but he put it together again last night, and not too surprising to us. And have all the confidence in the world in his abilities, and just got off to a little bit of a slow start, but. I would like to say all the time, that's what the minor leagues are for. You got to deal with a little bit of adversity and see how you bounce back. And he did it last night really well.
Speaking of dealing with some adversity and bouncing back, JJ, today Daniel Lynch goes on the mound for the Royals. And look, he's very young in his major league career and had a rough one last time out. Sounded like, Mike Matheny felt like maybe he was tipping some pitches, giving some things away that they could fix that pretty easily. I'm just curious what your thoughts are overall on what you've seen from him so far in his first couple of major league starts. We know these guys are going to have some growing pains as they transition to major league players, but what are you looking forward to seeing from Daniel Lynch this time around?
Yeah, I think last outing, obviously, was a disappointment. His first outing, we were really happy. He didn't have his best stuff, but he navigated through the game, really should have gotten through those five innings with a 3-1 lead, and we just didn't make a play behind him. And then the other day, he got ahead of hitters really well. He just didn't make good two-strike pitches. If you go back and look at the video, you see it was actually Sebastian Rivero, set up on a certain part of the plate, and he'd missed to the other side of the plate. Probably overthrowing a little bit. The thing about tipping pitches, we've gone back and looked at the video and, there's some changes and, maybe teams saw something we didn't. But those things have been addressed and, we would expect Daniel to bounce back and do just fine. The whole thing, when guys get to the major leagues, they always want to try to do too much. And you really don't need to. I mean, you're there because what you've done has been working and you just got to stick to it. But he's a young player, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles it today.
We were talking with George Brett out at the Joe McGuff ALS Golf Classic, and I think Todd Lebo asked him about the losing streak and the pressure players can put on themselves when they're trying to get out of a bad stretch. And George said something to the effect of, sometimes you try too hard, you need to try easier. And he said sometimes guys will go up there and try to hit a 3-run home run with the bases empty. And if you play baseball, everyone, George Brett's one of the greatest hitters of all time. He went through tough stretches. He was on teams that had long losing streaks. When you hear him say that and you see and you're around enough ball players like you've been that maybe press when they're going through a tough stretch or a losing streak, is that does that resonate with you that maybe sometimes guys can put too much pressure on themselves to try to snap out of it?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I've heard George say that. Back when I worked with Atlanta, Greg Maddux used to say, try easier. So the great ones have the ability to do that and trust their abilities and, not put the foot down on the gas every single pitch or every single swing, whatever it may be. And it's very true. I mean, it's really not about, one thing that we've learned, over the last few years, even more so than ever, velocity just doesn't affect hitters anymore. You know, it used to be like the Lee Smiths used to come in the game and just blow people's doors off with the fastballs at 97, 98. Well, these hitters see velocity so much, so what it comes down to is making pitches, and that's where the try easier thing comes in. You know, if we're trying to just make a pitch instead of trying to make the perfect pitch or a little bit more on the fastball, you know, you're going to tend to miss on the plate. So that try easier does resonate with me, and you see it happen all the time.
We're visiting with J.J. Piccolo. Let's get back into some of the prospects a little bit, J.J. We've all been very interested to hear and see about Asa Lacy so far. How would you characterize his start to the minor league season? I know he's kind of had a little bit of bumps in the road so far.
Quite honestly, we just covered it. You know, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina right now watching our low A ball team, but I had that game on my computer watching the game, and he was just trying to overpower the ball. You know, same thing we just talked about. He was trying to throw 110 miles an hour instead of letting his 94 to 96 play, and he had some big misses. Hopefully that's a learning moment for him. He threw some really good sliders. And he threw some good fastballs, but really he was just came down to overthrowing and trying to do too much. And, you know, part of being a young pitcher, when guys get on base, you know, that's really where they got to slow the game down. And last night it looked like it just sped up on him. You know, he was working quicker, and he's typically a pretty aggressive guy anyway. But when in those moments when he learns to back off a little bit, I think he'll find that, you know, he's going to be better than most hitters because his stuff's that good. But like every pitcher, you got to be in the strike zone, and he just was not last night.
So one of the interesting side stories to that is the guy that's come in to kind of bail him out, or whatever you want to call it, to fill in for him after he's come out of games, has been this pitcher, Drew Parrish, who I'm just learning about. Eighth-round pick for you guys out of Florida State from 2019. And man, his numbers look incredible. Striking out six guys, hasn't given up a run yet. I mean, he seems like he's just come in and been lights out. What can you tell us about him as a player?
Well, he's a very, very poised pitcher. He's probably, you know, 90 to 93 most nights, so it's not an overpowering fastball, but he's got a really good changeup. And, you know, that's something else that you look around the major leagues now, you don't see as many of those lefties that are, you know, with an average fastball and a really good changeup who can command the ball. And that's what Drew does. He did it at Florida State. He was a very accomplished pitcher at Florida State. He did it for us in Burlington, North Carolina, his first year out. And then, of course, last year, didn't get a chance to see him. But he did it in spring training. You know, he's doing it to start the year. Very similar, of the same ilk. We have somebody going in Double A tonight, Marcelo Martinez, who does a lot of the same. And it's a little bit of an undervalued thing right now because the game values velocity so much, especially in player identification when it comes to the draft. But when you look back through and you watch some of these guys like Drew and like Marcelo, they're very, very effective. And what you need to see with guys like him is how are they going to do against the older, more mature hitter? Are they going to chase the changeup? Is he going to be able to pitch off the plate or just off the plate like he likes to do? And if they're doing it at high levels, then you got somebody that's going to pitch in the big leagues and be very effective for you.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. J.J., some good news. You got three guys that are going out on rehab assignments. Jesse Hahn and Kyle Zimmer can certainly help the bullpen. And then, of course, everyone's been waiting on Adalberto Mondesi. Let's start with Mondesi. He's going to start a rehab assignment down in Double-A. So your thoughts on Mondesi getting back into game action and hopefully getting ready to come back up and help Kansas City?
Well, he's off to a pretty good start. He started out in Arizona the last 4 or 5 days. He's down in Arizona taking at bats. And, you know, the next step is to get him to Double-A and then, of course, Triple-A to the big league. So, you know, Adalberto, we all know how much he changes our team. I mean, it's such a dynamic person in the lineup, in the field. You know, put him back at shortstop, and you know, you're looking at Nicky at second base, and you're looking at Witt in the outfield. You get more versatility, you get more speed on the bases. So we just got to get him healthy. You know, it was really a shame. You know, last game of spring training, he injures himself, and, you know, here we are mid-May, and we haven't had him in a game yet. So I think we very much look forward to him getting back.
I mentioned Kyle Zimmer. He had a chance to face his brother last night in the game, and I know that obviously they wish it would happen at the major league level. That's still pretty damn cool for the Zimmer family that you had Big Bro against Little Bro. I know that I saw Zimmer got a hit off of his brother, but that had to be a special moment for the Zimmer family.
Yeah, you know, they, like you said, everybody's been waiting for that moment to happen. Of course, you know, you want it to happen in the major leagues, but, you know, ironically, it happens in AAA when Kyle's on a rehab assignment. But I saw the at-bat, and it wasn't a bad pitch. It was just pitched away, and, you know, his little brother, Bradley, hit the ball down the left field line. It wasn't really well. So it was just a clean single, and, you know, I think the irony of it, too, is a guy was thrown out at third. It would have been an RBI, but a guy was thrown out at third before the run crossed the plate and the inning ended. So, but we do need Kyle back. You know, his velocity was good last night. You know, a little bit of rust, but that's to be expected. First time on the mound in a while. But, you know, I think our bullpen changed quite a bit when we lost him, so hopefully we get him back pretty quickly.
And maybe everyone's happy there. You know, Little Bro gets a hit, but runner still not a third, so no run scores, and the inning's over, and everyone can celebrate in the Zimmer family. But more about Kyle Zimmer, because for a long time, we hoped that, you know, he'd end up in the rotation. And then for a while, we hoped he would just make it to the majors because he battled so many injuries. And then, you know, it was a challenge to think, will he ever get a chance to even pitch in the majors and make the team? And then he turns himself into not only a reliever, but a good reliever. Like you said, a big part of the bullpen, and the Royals have missed him. What does that say about everything that he went through? And it looked like for a while that the odds were going to be against him to even be a part of the team, but now he's a guy that the Royals need to get back because he is an important part of the bullpen, and he has turned himself into a quality major league pitcher.
Yeah, you got to give a lot of credit to Kyle. I don't know if I've been around a player who's been through more adversity when it comes to health than Kyle. And he just kept persevering, believed in himself. You know, there are a lot of people that were doubting whether he was good enough, whether he was hurt, how hurt was he. You know, there was a lot of doubting going on, but Kyle just kept pushing forward. And, you know, when guys go through things like that and they show you their resiliency, it's not too surprising when you see him in a major league game, you know, throwing the way he has thrown for us. So it was never a question of his stuff. He's got a really, really overpowering curveball that I think is the pitch that's really made him the type of reliever that he can be. And, of course, his fastball's plus as well. So, you know, he's a great individual. It's a hard guy not to pull for and root for, just knowing what he's been through. And, you know, he's had to earn it. You know, he got out of that prospect. You know, you hear about the first-round picks for a number of years. He sort of got out of that realm and just became another guy. But he just kept pushing forward and got to big leagues, which I think makes it even more special.
Hey, JJ, we were talking. I'm just curious your thoughts on a prospect that's getting a lot of talk right now, getting called up. You guys didn't have the chance to draft him because you were drafting later in the draft in 2018. But Jared Kelenic, I know Steven's excited about him getting a call up for the Seattle Mariners. What did you make of him as a prospect, and then what do you think he's got the chance to do at the big league level?
Yeah, no, very, very talented player. I've had a chance to see him play against us in spring training this year a few times. Very talented player, really can hurt you. You know, both with his hitting ability and some power, and he's a good defensive player. Very intense competitor. He's got a really good swing. You know, I believe it was a trade from the Mets, if I'm not mistaken, over to Seattle. But, you know, young player, he's going to be a good player. And then, you know, just getting his first taste of the major leagues and going through some of the bumps and bruises. Once he gets through that, I think you'll end up seeing what type of player he really is. But talented guy.
Okay, here's I ask you about a different prospect every week. Here's this week's prospect, Nick Prado. Obviously, he was a former first-round pick. He was number 14 overall, and it looked like in the spring, but there were some impressive highlights coming from Arizona from Nick Prado. He's down at Double A, and I'm just curious what you saw from him, maybe last year at the alternate site, and then this year in spring training to suggest that he's on the right track to eventually getting up to Kansas City and helping this team.
Yeah, no, couldn't be more impressed. I really believe he's our most improved guy from 2019 to 2021. I don't even want to say he revamped his swing. What he did was he revamped his approach, and our hitting coaches just did a tremendous job with him. He's a very, very patient guy. He sticks to his plan. He doesn't miss the mistakes. You know, his numbers right now are not indicative at all of his bats. I mean, he's walking. He's laying off pitches that he doesn't want to hit. He had a big triple last night in the eighth inning with two strikes. And he's really a guy that's developed this plan and approach that's made him a different hitter. And, you know, it'll play out over the course of the season, but he probably hit, I'm going to say, over 20 home runs in spring training in the 3 months we were there because, you know, we had, and a lot of it was inter-squad games and, you know, non-competitive, not against another team, but he probably hit 20 home runs. I mean, it was just uncanny. And by the end of it, we already saw teams, and ironically, the first two teams we played in spring training, so they've seen him and what he's doing. They're not giving him a lot to hit. You know, he was getting more off-speed pitches and change-ups and balls off the plate, and he just took his walks, you know, and that's a great sign for a young hitter. And, you know, I think our next series is somebody hasn't seen him, so I'd be interested to see how the next six games go because they're going to try to pitch to him, and we'll see how he reacts to it.
All right, JJ, final question for you. The NFL schedule's released yesterday. I'm looking at, I thought about you when I saw week four. Chiefs at Eagles, noon game October 3rd at Lincoln Financial Field. Your thoughts about the Chiefs making the trip to Philadelphia this year, JJ?
Well, I wish it was the other way around so I could be at the game.
Right.
But it's always fun when Andy goes back to Philadelphia. I mean, when he left there, you know, there was a lot of criticism, but you look over the 14 years he was there, really an unbelievable track record. And I think the fans of Philadelphia appreciate who in the Hall to be. I mean, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. So it's always fun when he goes back to Philadelphia. But, you know, don't know a whole lot about how the teams are shaping up. The Chiefs, I would say right now, are probably got a little bit of a leg up. How's that?
Okay, so and then the important question about it, because we will have many listeners make that trip to Philadelphia, and Jake is very outspoken about this, but you get the final word on this. Where is the real story? Where is the best place to get a cheesesteak in Philadelphia?
Oh boy, there's so many good places, but you know, I've always liked Geno's. I know that's kind of Geno's and Pat's are the two everybody knows about, but Geno's is a great one. But is of the two, I like Geno's, and then there's one right down the street from the stadium, Oregon Steaks. And if you go to Oregon Steaks, that's probably surprise you a little bit. It's not as well known nationally as Geno's and Pat's.
But that's a good spot. So it's close to the stadium. So if you got Chiefs fans going out there, that's a good place to stop then.
Yeah, just don't wear your Chiefs jersey when you're walking through there.
Well, maybe not
rough.
Chiefs fans. Maybe JJ says good food, but no stop. JJ, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
So then who do you say? Jake, in your travels to Philadelphia, you have a strong
I'm
opinion.
I'm completely brain farting right now.
Okay, good.
I'm That's having, a, right. I don't know what's wrong
you. Have
with
no
me.
Idea.
I quit eating. Tony Luke's.
Okay,
sorry.
There you go.
So, jeez. I'm off today, man.
Have you heard of the place?
That would make me maybe start eating meat again. Oregon Steaks. JJ knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Tony Luke's is, it's my number one.
Have you eaten at the Geno's and Pat's and everything?
Yeah, Geno's is, out of those two, I like Geno's better.
I've been to Geno's about 3 o'clock in the morning.
There you go.
Wow.
I ate one at a place called Jake's Steaks.
Nice.
I mean, I had to, right? But it's like every corner you can get a cheese steak.
I've been to three different places in Philly, and I can't remember the names of all of them, but like a nice coat.
Why?
Because it's going to smell like those grilled onions and peppers for weeks.
Maybe that's what you want, though.
No. It smells good when it doesn't smell good, like day-old grill smell.
Says you.
Two things, because I haven't been to Philly on the Rocky Stairs. You know that?
Yeah.
Yep.
But I want to go to Big Charlie's Saloon, the Chiefs bar in Philly.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
I've never done that. Did you guys watch the mini-documentary on
Super cool
NFL
place.
Network?
Yeah.
So cool.
That teared me up a couple of times. I would love to pay a visit there and then go to the game.
That
I would love
awesome.
That.
That would be awesome. And it is pretty amazing when you think about Dick Vermeil and Andy Reid, the connections between Philly and Kansas City that exist there. So
I'd like that.
That would be really cool. I haven't done that. I've done the Rocky Steps, Stephen. And I once, so...
I say that when I rub the Rocky Steps, but halfway through I'll probably collapse, so that's maybe not the best.
No, we'll get you in, we'll get in shape right? for that.
What, the first time I ran, I was there with the Kansas women's basketball team, and when we ran up the steps...
You fell down.
There was a guy, like, you know, like a kind of like a panhandler. He had a box out that you could put money in.
Yeah.
And he was singing the Rocky song out loud, like at the top of his lungs for everybody while they ran the steps.
See?
He was just up there going, da 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 da.
Okay, give me the top three. Don't worry about schedule or whatever. Just top, if you could go, top three road trips as a Chiefs fan, if you could pick to go.
Okay.
Number one, two, and three. And here they are. Here are your choices. Obviously, Baltimore for Sunday Night Football, at Philly, at Washington, at Tennessee, at L.A. for the Chargers. I mean, I don't know. At Vegas for Sunday Night Football, at Denver, at Cincinnati. You guys can go get your Skyway, no, Skyline chili that you want so bad.
Is
that
bathroom all of them? Real quick.
Where do you want to go?
I've been to Denver to see the Chiefs. I've been to Tennessee to see the Chiefs. I would say for me, top three, at Baltimore.
Yeah, Nashville would be fun.
I'm with you on Baltimore.
At Baltimore, Inner Harbor, just plus, you know, Ravens.
That's Baltimore's number one?
It's one of the coolest stadiums.
Yeah.
It's not number one.
Atmosphere is great.
I don't think it's number one for me. I think Vegas would be number
Vegas
one.
Vegas is one
Vegas
for me.
Vegas is going to be number two for me.
I'm going to be honest. I'd like to go to L.A. I'd like to see that SoFi Stadium. And plus, my brother lives in L.A., so, I mean,
That stadium looks incredible.
Yeah.
And the Chargers are going to be good.
And they get zero support from their home crowd, so we would, run the deal.
I could be really loud there and probably have an impact.
I'm going Baltimore, Vegas, L.A.
I think I'm going to say Vegas.
I just think Vegas is going to be such a blank show.
that's pretty much
my life.
Right? And that's why it's number one.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Going to be a ton of Chiefs fans
I want to go to Philly.
Philly would be cool.
I want to go to Nashville.
See, I guess
I'd rather just go to Nashville.
I've been to all those stadiums on the Chiefs.
I'm trying to factor in like the city and the trip of what you could do like a Saturday before or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, Nashville's a fun place to go. I definitely enjoyed the city of Nashville more than I did the stadium and game experience.
What road trip would you least like to go? Cincinnati.
Yeah, easy. No, that's
like I want nothing to do with Cincinnati and
DC is
January 2nd.
Washington Stadium, that FedEx Field, that's a weird place.
See, but I'd like to go to Washington DC.
But DC is an incredible.
It's like
city
25 minutes away from the city. I mean, it's a weird place. That stadium's weird.
I've never been in that stadium. I've been in RFK a few times. That's really weird these days. But DC is a great place to visit.
I'd rather go to Baltimore if I'm going to that area.
Yeah. See, I never like. As long as the Raiders were in Oakland, I was never going. Now they're in Vegas, I'd like to go.
Right. I will say, I think literally the greatest dining experience I've ever had in my life was in Essex, Maryland, going to when I was covering
the Royals. Did you say sex in Maryland?
Essex, Maryland. So
did you
outside
break
of
some crabs open?
Say, wow.
Yeah, Bill Stone crab. Bill's Terrison.
I love
blue crab.
Yeah.
Bill's Terrison.
For the eating, yes, that's what I want. I want crabs.
Yeah. I'll give you crabs.
Yeah, I know.
You got all the crabs you can handle, bro.
Oh, man.
I never wanted to get crabs. Now I want them.
Yeah, right? You did everything you could to avoid crabs.
Well, I've had them, and they're delicious.
If it wasn't preseason, I'd like to go to Arizona. But that's preseason.
It's a cool stadium, but
at San Francisco. That'd be fun. We'd have fun in San Francisco.
Yep. Levi Stadium.
You'd be the San Francisco treat.
I love San Francisco. That's one of my favorite. So weird, man. Yeah,
Gutierrez, the San Francisco treat.
You were so off your game today. What happened to you last night?
You're nothing.
You know what happened? Here's what happened. You threw him off this morning with the whole flex schedule thing, and he's been spinning his wheels trying to catch up to that ever since.
That's a fair statement.
We lost him down the wrong track.
And I'm not fighting with you. I'm just reading what the Chiefs release.
And I spent 20 minutes trying to...
What?
When I hear something and then I read it and then it, and then I'm just absolutely wrong, it's yeah. baffling to me.
I mean, it shouldn't be that baffling to you, should it? I mean,
no, by this point in time,
really,
no.
Is it like, really
usually
that
he just, you, yeah.
But the best
usually
part was,
is I
you threw it out
it
like,
oh,
by the way, I'm like, that's not at all what this says, like, but I don't know.
Usually,
I know
usually,
what you're saying, though. Sometimes you've read something somewhere, you can't remember exactly where you read it.
Did we ever get to the bottom of it?
I mean, no. Is
it,
we blame Mike
Lebo
Florio.
Says it's a new part of the deal that's, he thinks it's a, like the next year, like it, right. for the next.
Is that what
DVD.
Lebo said?
He thinks.
Oh,
that's
you're
what
texting
he,
Todd and everything else.
Right? No, and it's like so. Usually, when I guess at something and I'm wrong about it, I'm like, yeah, well,
No. Here's the deal. You fell apart for about 20 minutes because we kept looking in there and the commercial break. And I know. And
I got to be on this Google.
Let me tell you something.
Somewhere.
I know what you do. Because he, you know, he turns on our mics in here, so we can hear everything we're talking about. So
no.
you watch yourself.
No.
But you and this was so to make sure you. I go, hey Jake, and I MF'd you everything else, and you wouldn't look up, so I knew you weren't listening. And I told Nate, I go look at him. I said right now, he's researching this Monday
like
flex schedule, and he's gone. And you look at him, he's like this.
Oh, he was.
I was bad. I'm still
kind of
baffled.
His nose was about 3 inches from the
yeah.
computer
no, like,
screen.
Let's be honest. I'm wrong. Probably out of the three of us, I'm wrong the most. You
I
know?
Don't think
I'll take that. I'll take that.
I refuse that.
But when I'm wrong,
I refute.
When I'm wrong, I usually try to be. You know, I'm certain, but I'm wrong. Right.
But you felt good about that.
Right. Yeah. I thought I was correct.
It was a great point you were making until it wasn't correct.
Right. Usually I make a statement. If it's not right, I usually know.
I'm reading this again.
There's a good chance I'm not right about this.
I'm going to read this again. And if you got a problem with it, blame Chiefs.com and NFL.com. This is what they say.
All right.
Flexible scheduling will be used in weeks 11 through 18. Additionally, in weeks 5 through 10, flexible scheduling may be used in no more than 2 weeks. In weeks 5 through 17... the schedule lists the games tentatively set for Sunday Night Football and NBC. Only Sunday afternoon games are eligible to be moved to Sunday night, in which case a tentatively scheduled Sunday night game would then be moved to an afternoon start time. For Week 18, two Saturday games and the Sunday night game will be announced no later than 6 days prior to January 9th. The schedule does not list Saturday games or a Sunday night game in Week 18, but games with playoff implications will be moved to those time slots. Flexible scheduling ensures quality matchups in all Sunday time slots in those weeks and gives surprise teams a chance to play their way into primetime. Flexible scheduling will not be applied to games airing on Thursday or Monday nights, is what this says. And that's from Chiefs.com.
And then we double-checked it on NFL.com.
Yeah,
it said
well,
the same thing. So
who cares about that, though?
I'm all wet.
And so here is your schedule for Week 18. Of the possible games that could end up in one of those three primetime spots or whatever, right? Chiefs at Broncos. I mean, there's a shot there, right? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, especially if Aaron Rodgers ends up there.
Washington at the Giants, Bengals at the Browns, Saints at the Falcons. No. Steelers at Ravens. Yes.
I think Saints at Falcons has a chance to
okay.
be a good game.
I agree with that.
All right.
I think that Matt Ryan's shown when he has weapons around him, he can actually produce.
Packers at Lions. No. Jets at Bills. No. Panthers at Bucks. Panthers aren't going to hold up their end of the deal there.
Nope.
Colts at Jags. No. Patriots at Dolphins. That could be for.
Maybe.
You could see that being for the number 7 seed,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Titans at Texans.
Nope.
Nope.
Chiefs at Broncos.
Yep.
Possibly.
Chargers at Raiders.
Possibly.
Yeah. I think the Chargers-Raiders game probably has a better chance.
These
than...
are all Week 18. Seahawks at Cardinals.
Could be a great
yeah,
one.
That could be good.
Could be a great one.
That could be
that division. That division's going to be fascinating, too.
Always is lately, right?
I think
Stafford on the Rams is going to be, I think,
and so the,
I might pick them to win that
great
division.
Great segue. So here's the last one that I think is going to be one of the three. 49ers at Rams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would say the two most likely, 49ers at Rams
yep.
and Steelers at Ravens.
I think that game might be for the NFC West.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe the Steelers and Ravens is for that division title, unless the Browns say, no, we got it. Anyway, there's the Week 18 games. Two of those will be flexed to Saturday, and one of those will be flexed to Sunday night in Week 18, based on playoff implications. Back after this on WHB.